rising fuel prices delay an expansion by Southwest Airlines. That guy who stole a Cessna in California last month was a heavy meth user, and the airline pilot shortage is about to get more acute. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, February 28, 2012. Most commentary linking rising oil prices with suppression of an economic recovery relies on vague generalizations, but Southwest Airlines is blaming the upward march of fuel costs for a change in its expansion plans, which could delay the deployment of hundreds of additional planes, citing the need to reach a target of 15% return on investment. There's nothing vague or general about that. The Wall Street Journal reports Southwest CEO Gary Kelly, speaking in Chicago at an employee event, said of jet fuel prices, quote, "We prepared for $3.30, now we're going to have to be prepared for $3.50, unquote. He adds that fuel costs, with additional uncertainty surrounding costs to merge recently acquired AirTran, may require schedule adjustments. Kelly adds that plans remain on track to replace some older Boeing 737 variants with the 737-800 to increase capacity, and the first of the more fuel-efficient new 737 MAX aircraft will begin arriving in 2017. That's part of a $19 billion contract with the manufacturer. There were bright spots in Kelly's outlook. He says the AirTran acquisition will bring Southwest customers access to the world's busiest airport, Hartsfield-Jackson International in Atlanta, and add 22 cities to the list of those served by the airline, and an improvement in annual revenue of $400 to $500 million. There's an update on that case of a Cessna 172 stolen by a non-pilot from the Concord Airport in California earlier this month, then crashed into the bank of a canal after an apparent wire strike. The toxicology report reveals the thief had methamphetamine in his bloodstream at a concentration 10 times that of a normal user, indicative of long-term use. As ANN reported, the plane was apparently stolen February 3rd. The accident site was discovered 2 days later. The sole occupant, 52-year-old Ray Pirro, was discovered dead in the wreckage. The Contra Costa Times now reports Pirro had a methamphetamine concentration of 2,500 nanograms per milliliter of blood. That's according to Dr. David Haddon, the Fresno County coroner. Haddon says a typical level for regular user of the drug would be between 100 and 300 nanograms, adding, quote, "This shows chronic long-term use. He was extraordinarily tolerant," unquote. Pirro did not have any pilot certificate. The shortage of airline pilots may be about to get more acute. The FAA, responding to a demand from Congress after the Colgan 3407 crash in 2009, has proposed rulemaking to require 1,500 hours and an ATP certificate to serve as the first officer on airline flights. Some consider the mandate an odd one, since both pilots on Flight 3407 held those qualifications. The proposal includes provisions allowing pilots with military experience and graduates of four-year collegiate aviation programs to receive a provisional ATP certificate, good for first officer but not captain assignments, if they have 1,000 hours and a commercial certificate. Former FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt, whose airline background made him keenly aware of the problems the arbitrary ATP requirement would cause to both airlines and aspiring pilots, argued that the right kinds of experience and training were more important than some big-sounding number of hours as a minimum. FAA Acting Administrator Michael Huerta, who replaced Babbitt, is not a pilot. He has a background in political positions and computer services. He says of the rulemaking, quote, "I believe this proposed rule will ensure our nation's pilots have the necessary skills and experience," unquote. Public comments will be accepted on the proposal for 60 days. Boeing has shuffled executives overseeing the Dreamliner program again and isn't saying much about why. In an internal announcement Friday morning, Larry Loftus was named general manager of the 787 program and Scott Fancher moved over to the 777 program. The two simply traded jobs. Boeing would not offer either executive for media interviews. Boeing CEO Jim Albaugh said the move could better align the organization for expected challenges as the 787 program moves into full production, according to a report in the Seattle Times. Still ahead, UAVs are a step closer to mixing it up with manned aircraft. A P-51 pilot gets emergency help from Bob Hoover himself. And the TSA era is becoming an age of overreaction. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, February 28th. I'm Paul Platt. The folks who champion the idea of putting UAVs into the national airspace system to mingle with manned aircraft are looking for technology called Sense and Avoid, the automated equivalent of See and Avoid for piloted aircraft. General Atomics Aeronautical Systems claims it has successfully demonstrated an early prototype of something it calls due regard radar on a manned aircraft. The test, on a Twin Otter in November of last year, used an active electronically scanned array radar system to detect an approaching King Air. More testing will be done to refine the algorithm used to process that information and trigger a response. The company's Lyndon Blue predicts, quote, "Equipping a highly reliable UAS such as Predator B with this capability will expand its capacity to operate routinely in domestic and international airspace, ensuring its interoperability with civilian air traffic and airspace rules and regulations," unquote. General Atomics will eventually progress to testing on unmanned aircraft and hopes to introduce the product for that use by 2015. Chuck Gardner was flying a P-51 Sunday afternoon. On approach to Mobile Downtown Airport in Alabama, Gardner dropped a gear but only got two green lights on the starboard main wheel and on the tailwheel. Not wanting to damage the aircraft with a belly landing, the pilot got some advice on what to do from about as good a source as there is, Bob Hoover. Gardner was patched through by radio, and Hoover recommended some alternating positive and negative G maneuvers. The port side gear light finally went green, and the landing was made safely. According to a blog appearing on the website of Alabama Live, the P-51D is owned by Kavanaugh Flight Museum in Dallas. It was taking part in an Air Nostalgia Weekend at Alabama Aviation Center. And finally today, the hair trigger security environment, which now characterizes airline travel, may have a few people too much on edge. On Southwest Flight 1155 from Baltimore to Long Island Friday, a friendly acknowledgement by the pilot over the PA system of the birthday of a mom on board was misheard by some passengers as bomb on board, causing a brief panic. USA Today cites a report by the Associated Press in relating that even after flight attendants explained what had actually been said, and the pilot himself came back on the PA to clarify the statement, quote, "two passengers were disgruntled enough to complain to security officials," unquote. This has become a big enough deal that both the airline and the FAA have felt the need to issue public statements. The Long Island Press reports a Southwest spokeswoman explained, "the pilot made an announcement that was misunderstood after an air traffic controller working out of terminal radar approach in Westbury contacted the pilot and had asked him to wish his mother a happy birthday." The airline says the pilot did report the incident through the appropriate channels. The FAA statement added, quote, "Pilots and controllers will sometimes engage in brief greetings. If such conversations go beyond this limit, controllers are counseled to refrain from such unnecessary talk," unquote. The agency says it's reviewing the ATC communications, and there are hints that the controller could be sent for retraining, but the agency is not investigating the pilot or the airline. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.